Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey everyone, Dr. Scott here. I wanted to hop on real quick before we start with today's episode and let you know that our next 10-day challenge event registration link is live. It is found in the show notes for the dates and additional information. You can also go to www.thefastingforlife.com/live. That is www.thefastingforlife.com/live. And now to today's episode. Hey everyone, welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier, and I am here as always with my good friend and colleague Tommy Welling. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey Scott, how are you?
Doing awesome, sir. I am looking forward to today's conversation. This is something that has come out of one of our recent conversations with our group coaching clients, and that call went really long, and it was fantastic because there were so many different takeaways, and we felt that it would be a very timely conversation kind of with where things are trending, you know, on a societal slash personal kind of trajectory.
Yeah. The other day I was driving around and I noticed traffic for the first time in a while. Right.
Yep.
And I got frustrated at first for like a microsecond. And then I said, wait a minute. No. I like this. I like more things happening. Things are opening up. Like there's more energy outside than there used to be. It was kind of like, you know, it kind of got slow there for a while. So
yeah,
that's kind of where this conversation started.
Agreed. And as we've kind of gone through, the incantations of the podcast, you know, we're approaching 70 episodes. You know, we've gone through, we typically like to dabble in the research, but we've really started to break down, you know, four different things when it comes to fasting. So if you're new to the podcast and you've got specific questions about what breaks a fast or what we believe in, or kind of our outline and how we look at things, scan the topics right on the podcast episodes. If you're looking for something specific, we've probably talked about it at some point. And if not, shoot us a message. But we really want to look at it through four different lenses: the practical side of fasting, you know, different types and how to push the window and common mistakes, et cetera. So we've got a lot of topics on that. We've got the personal side of fasting, how to get your life back, Tommy and I's journey. If you want to go back and listen to the first few episodes, you know, self-image, you know, different hobbies, how to stay motivated, those types of things. And then there's the social side, which is the one that we're going to talk a little bit about today, coming out of that conversation from the coaching call. And this is really, it's linked to the personal side, but it's really about the relationships and how to fast as a parent and attending social gatherings. And that's really where we're going to hit on a lot today, is now that it seems like the world is starting to open up. We're coming out of the pandemic, the stay-at-home orders, all of those different types of things here in Texas. You know, we've seen lowest numbers that we've seen since the start. So it seems like life is starting to return to normal. And we're going to talk about, you know, something that one of our clients brought up in the social side of fasting. And then we also talk a lot about the science of fasting. So those are typically the four frameworks, and different episodes have different amounts of each one of those. So today we're really going to focus on the social side of fasting and hopefully come away with a little bit of perspective and a couple good action steps as we kind of get re-released into the world, right? As we kind of get re-released back into normal. You know, and I just kind of liked where the conversation went.
Yeah. What I thought was interesting, when this got brought up on the call, was that, you know, first two rules of fasting: don't talk about fasting. Right. But that's really, really easy to do.
You didn't say the second rule. Don't talk about fasting.
Right. I wasn't talking about fasting. So, you know,
just for the new people.
Yeah.
Our rules, like, until you get some reps, the first two rules, like Fight Club, nuh-uh, don't do it.
Right. Don't do it. It's dangerous. You know, stay away. Danger. But, you know, it's really easy to follow those rules when there's nobody else to talk to about fasting, or when you're not getting pressure to come, you know, join someone, you know, at a restaurant, you know, during the middle of your fasting window. Like it's super simple to stick within your fasting rules and hit your goals when there's no outside influences coming. So now that we're feeling some more of those, you know, people are getting more social invitations, people are getting together, there's more parties, you know, that's going to mean opportunities and things that's going to be more decision points than you might be used to in recent past, where you're going to have to make some choices, have some priorities and set up some new boundaries, and get comfortable with that in order to keep going in the right direction. Right.
So some people might be sitting here, I completely agree, and thinking, wait a minute. So what's the framework here? So this person who brought this question up is crushing it. They started fasting in the fall. They're hitting their goals. They've lost 20 plus pounds, mm-hmm. and they've been in their own little petri dish, right? Working from home, not having a lot of that outside social pressure, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Did talk about how family had come in and family brought all of these different snacks, and there's pretzels on the table at like 2 p.m. because that's, you know, the older generation has their habits, right? Everything goes slower.
Yeah.
But we're talking about, it reminds me of when my wife's grandparents would come and visit. They always traveled because they drove here, always traveled with like all the snacks. Like they'd show up and be like, hey, here's the jerky. Here's the salted nuts. Oh, look at this. I brought these wafer crackers. Let's go get a charcuterie board. And I'm like, oh my gosh, slow down. So we're starting to have that again as people feel safer.
Yeah.
You know, and some of you might be thinking, well, okay, that was not my experience during this. I was on the other end,
right
where it was like, excuse me, where it was like, no, I've got an extra 15 or 20,
sure.
Right. Yep. And everything in between. So I found something the other day that I really liked to kind of frame this is, you know, marriage is hard, divorce is hard. So choose your hard. Obesity is hard. Being fit is hard. Choose your hard. Being in debt versus being financially disciplined, they're both hard. Choose one.
Mm-hmm.
Communicating is hard. Not communicating is hard. Choose your hard, right? So life at some certain points, and not to downplay any of the effects of what we've gone through as a society or as individual situations going through the last 12 to 18 months.
Yeah.
But, you know, we get the opportunity to choose our hard. So I really like the framework, you know, as we kind of talk through this conversation with our group coaching people was, you know, as we go back out, right, into the wild and start saying yes to some of these, hey, this is the first time we can get together in 12 months. Like, let's get the girls together. Let's get the guys on the golf course. Like, you know, all of that kind of thing is, you know, get to see family more is, you know, you may be the outsider, but choosing your hard has to go back to your why and your values and your goals, because what the statistics especially showed us during, you know, the last 12 months is that if you have extra weight and you're a type 2 diabetic and you have breathing issues and you are not fit or healthy, right, that you are going to have a lot more complications when it comes to, you know, the situation and the surroundings around you. So this has showed us that not being in, you can compare the United States to other countries, like we are not healthy as statistically speaking. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's a real life application to this, in that when you go back out, like you get to choose your hard, you get to choose your own adventure, right? Like you get to decide, okay, why am I doing this and for what reasons? And I just liked some of the, you know, the conversation and talking points as we went through it.
Yeah. You know, cause you know, getting, like you said, when we have those invitations to these social situations, you might be sitting here thinking, like, saying no to that kind of invitation sounds really hard, or doing something different, like saying no to, you know, to a glass of wine, or, you know, skipping breakfast that day, or making some other choice like that, that might sound hard. But, you know, the diet roller coaster is hard too. Like seeing the scale tick up, you know, the next day because of the choices that you made the previous day, that's hard as well. So, you know, just like you said, choosing your hard and, you know, just being real with your own priorities and knowing that you know, if you have, you know, weight loss and health goals, you're on this journey for a reason. You know, there will be decision points, and we're not saying to give up all the social opportunities by any means.
Yeah. Don't blow off the wedding that you've been invited to. Right. Like, no, that's not real life either. Right. No. So I like the example. There's a comedian
maybe
out
skip
there.
Breakfast that day.
Yeah. Right. Skip breakfast, maybe do a couple 36 hour fasts the week before. Anyway, we'll talk about some action steps here and some what it can look like to give you some empowering things to do if this, you know, is something that you can relate to or something that you've been thinking about. And it was really framed as like almost an anxiety about it. Like, oh, my God, I've made such good progress. Like, what do I do now? So we are going to talk about that. To frame that conversation, I really like there's this comedian out there that talks about, you know, when if you are a non-drinker, and someone's, you know, says, hey, I don't drink. The response is like, why? Why don't you drink? Right. It doesn't happen with anything else, though. Like, it's not like I think the example he uses is mayonnaise. Like, you don't eat mayonnaise. Why?
How could you?
You're like, what? Like, what do you mean? Right. So it's funny because that also in my brain goes right to fasting. You fast? Why?
Yeah.
That sounds miserable. You skip breakfast?
What are you trying to destroy yourself? Right.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Right. So there are some really cool frameworks and action steps, you know, some real life applicable things on the practical side of fasting you can do to be able to say yes, be confident, and know that you're moving towards your goal.
Yeah. You know what my favorite thing to do was whenever I started fasting? Because we used to live closer to certain family and we would go out on like weekly dinners, kind of just bring the family together. But when I started getting into fasting, you know, I was doing some 48 and some 72 hour fasts pretty regularly. And I didn't let those family dinners, you know, derail a lot of those fasting times. So what I did was I just took, you know, at the time, I think it was maybe like 55 pounds or something like that. And then multiplied it times my number of calories that I had. And they said, what, you're not eating dinner tonight? I said, no. I have 192,000 calories stored. So like, I'm good for a few hours. Like, I'm going to eat tomorrow. And they kind of stopped asking me that, you know, the same question over and over again.
Now, I will say that probably won't work for a lot of people because that breaks the first two rules of fasting.
Right.
Don't talk about fasting. But I believe at that point that you were, yeah, that wasn't going to affect you. So for the lesser, the lesser of us, myself included, you know, you're going to have to pick your poison and make a decision about really what you want to do. One of the things that I do currently is, especially over the last few weeks and over the next few weeks, is, you know, we had Easter, we had a couple of birthdays, we had my son's birthday, we have family coming in for 2 weeks. I have a business trip. I'll be traveling. There's a lot of opportunity to fall off, right? To not just maintain, but to go in the opposite direction.
A lot of decision points too.
Yeah, a lot of decisions. So we always talk about planning, right? So planning ahead. And even before you plan, it is okay to say no. So if you've got like five things coming up in a week and all five of those are like creating that little bit of, I don't know how I'm going to navigate this. It might be okay to say, hey, I'll catch this group next time.
Mm-hmm.
And it may or may not fit for you at that moment, but really keeping that end goal in mind. So when I go out or when I plan, I know that I'm going to set what it is that I'm going to consume before I leave. So I take the decision of the moment. I take the decision after I've had a couple sips of wine or that craft beer where the inhibition comes down. I take the decision making out of the equation so I don't end up with the appetizer, the 20-ounce steak, the dessert, and the after-dinner drink with the espresso, right? So it's like, okay, what am I really wanting here? What's my goal? All right, great. I'm going to have this, and this is what I'm going to order. So when I get there, I already know that I've chosen – I've been able to weigh outside of the emotion in the moment, the juice being worth the squeeze. I'm going to consume this knowing that this is what could potentially happen tomorrow. Maybe my cravings will be up. Well, I can't have that. Maybe I'll have a little more brain fog and maybe a Sunday celebration into a Monday. I can't do that because I have a really busy Monday packed with meetings and scheduling and hiring, and I can't do it. So what I choose to do on Monday then is pivot, like, okay, well, what can I have on Monday? What would be, what would fit and work for me in that moment? Okay, well, I'll have a mimosa, right? New recipe my wife made on Easter. Great. We'll have a mimosa. I'll have a little bit of food. And then I know going earlier in the day, I know going into Monday then that I'm still going to be fresh and I'm still would have been a part of that experience as well.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, that's great balance right there. And I love the emphasis on taking the decision-making out of the moment, right. Because that is, it's really tough to come out of, like tempting decisions and sometimes, you know, we just have decision-making fatigue. You know, the research shows it over and over and over again. We can only make so many decisions effectively in any given day. So when we take the number out and we take the pressure off and we do it when our inhibitions are higher, then we're going to tend to have the better outcome, right?
Hey, fasting fam, want to let you know about an incredible company that we've partnered with, AquaTrue.com. Promo code fasting for life to receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. These are not your old school pitcher filters or your refrigerator filters. We're talking about a proprietary 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process. Their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing, which if you've priced those whole home water filtration systems, you know exactly what I'm talking about. These incredible countertop versions, they do have one under sink mounting model as well, but they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters, like I mentioned, and they're specifically designed to combat this new group of chemicals that the Environmental Working Group has done a deep dive on, these forever chemicals called PFAS or PFASs. These are in 45% of our U.S. tap water. 45%. These things can lead to endocrine system disruption, certain types of cancers, liver toxicity. And I'm so glad that there's now a countertop affordable version of this incredible technology. So as we fast, we know that water, outside of a little black coffee and tea, is the only thing that we drink. So if we're trying to get the biggest bang for our buck, we're trying to increase autophagy and allow our bodies to heal, shed the weight, get healthy, reverse disease, then why not give it the absolute best quality water that you can? So AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. It even makes a great gift, like I mentioned, my aunt and uncle. Today, as one of our loyal listeners, if you support them, you're supporting us. You're going to get 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to aquatrue.com. That's AquaTru.com and enter code fasting for life. FASTINGFORLIFE. That's 20% off any of the AquaTrue water purifiers at aquatrue.com.
Right, right. So I love the framework of the food versus alcohol, right? So there's, for me, it's like, all right, if I'm going golfing, okay, can I have 4 White Claws? And some cashews and be okay? Or should I plan on having 2 White Claws and then go get the burger at the bar post round?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And don't worry, like I'm not, we're not hopping in the car after 10 White Claws after a round. There's always one guy that is designated and that's why we rotate the rounds. This is from months and months ago too, by the way, because I've not been able to play. So I'm excited now that I've gotten clearance where I can get back out on the golf course. So I'm going to actually live this example here, mm-hmm. you know, in the coming months where it's like, okay, so I use a more drastic example on the coaching call. I was like, okay, do you have the bottle and a half of wine and no dinner? Or do you have 2 glasses of wine and a nice dinner? I'm using the extremes as on purpose, but the reality is just fitting somewhere in between there. What's going to work for you socially to feel good, be a part of it, and then also feel good coming out of it. The opposite is what you alluded to earlier, Tommy, which is it's okay to just go and be social.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to be ingesting. You don't have to be taking in food and or drink, you know, just to be participating in a social gathering. So, you know, it is okay to be in the middle of a fasting window and still have a good time and connect with friends and family. Or just like you said, like finding that balance point, you know, for what you actually do want to consume and not just going, oh, okay, well, everyone else is doing it, so why don't I just do that? Like you don't have to completely do a 180, you know, away from your goals and what you're used to doing now just to participate in that situation.
One of the other questions that I posed was, what does your social circle look like? So are they a group of people that are encouraging? And I use the example of Aunt Jane, who's, you know, doing the most recent celery juice fad diet, or, you know, Uncle Joe, who's, you know, in his man cave, 15 Coors Light, you know, kind of part of the equation. Right. So, right. You know, we have those people in our family, but in our circle of friends, we probably have them too. So is your circle the encouraging, uplifting circle, or is it the circle that probably won't receive what it is that you're doing for your reasons very well? So it's something to take into perspective, you know, that whole choose your hard kind of concept. You know, yeah. You're going to be, if you want to not be the statistic and have the other, you know, issues that a lot of people have in terms of their health, then you're going to need to do something different. And whatever that is for you, you just have to be comfortable wearing those clothes, so to speak, knowing mm-hmm. that you're the salmon swimming upstream, knowing that you're choosing your hard that's different from everybody else. And I just, a little bit of reflection on, okay, is this the group that I want to be going out with consistently? Or is this, you know, the one time, you know, invite, because literally we are being re-released, right? Like things are opening up again and it's just been so much pent up energy.
Right.
And we're like, all right, I just got to go do it all. So just some things to think about in terms of, you know, kind of the framework on how to make this societal piece of fasting work for the current situation, but also for any type of holiday or wedding or work party in the future.
Yeah. And I remember in the beginning stages, you know, when I was still getting comfortable with fasting, starting to quickly understand that if someone else doesn't quite understand it, but you know, they're not getting to their own, you know, weight and health goals, that, you know, sometimes that's a little bit more confirmation that, okay, maybe I am onto something here. Maybe I am kind of on the right track, because if I was doing exactly what they're okay with and they look and feel and act that way, then yeah, I need to be doing something a little bit different. So yeah, I think that's good. And you know, it's kind of a contrarian, you know, confirmation to what you're doing.
Yeah. The person on the call too is like, ooh, I like being that person. I was like, great. So that framework might not work for some of y'all. Just like Tommy saying, I have 375,000 calories left. I'm good. I'm just going to hang out tonight. Right. Like that. I don't know if that would fly. It would fly with my family now because they know. But yeah, it's really just figuring out. That's why the social side of things is so, you know, closely related to the personal side of it. Your decisions, you know, what your goals are, where you are. And just shout out to them too, because, you know, they've had great results as we've kind of gone through these trying last 12 to 18 months. I don't even remember mm-hmm. how long it's been now, but, over a year for sure. So, with that, you know, as we kind of wrap up today's episode, Tommy, any final thoughts or action steps or takeaways? If you guys are new to Fasting for Life, you can go to our website, thefastingforlife.com, download the Fast Start Guide. You can get on our newsletter. and if you're looking for, you know, basics of fasting and what it is that we think constitutes a fast, breaks a fast, et cetera, and some of those more practical and research side of things, just go ahead and take a gander through the episode list. So as I was filibustering there, Tommy, to give you some time to think about a final thought for today, and as we wrap up the episode, what you got?
I didn't need any additional time there.
I know.
Yeah, I know.
I was just getting through, you know, I was going through the routine. Everybody feel welcome. Are you new to the podcast? Have you been with us for a while? You know,
I liked it. It was good. But you know, for an action step, as we kind of get out there and find ourselves in more social situations, just remember that, timing is everything in so many different, ways. But what I really mean by that is, you know, if you have, you know, a social gathering, you find yourself at a party or on a holiday, get together, put some more time between and be deliberate with the time that you put between your actual meals and your food and drink intake, because, it just takes a little bit more time to get through some of those, you know, processed foods, extra, you know, baked goods, whatever it may be, alcoholic beverages.
Yeah. The extra beverage. That's what, yep.
Right. Put some more time between that, so you can actually have time to get through the calories, to process it all. You know, you can stay on track. You can keep the scale moving in the right direction and maintain the feeling of control just by putting a little bit more time on the front end and or on the back end. So, you know, maybe skip breakfast, skip lunch, you know, and enjoy the evening get together, and so forth, and find yourself getting right back on track or staying there and keeping that sense of control.
So what I just heard there, Tommy, for the new people was the meal timing is more important in the beginning than anything else. Keep the main thing the main thing. Push the window before, like you said, skip a meal coming out of it. Push the window a little bit, but just going to have to play around with it a little until you get more comfortable with the meal timing concept and skipping meals and having those conversations. So, luckily now with how things are trending, I think there'll be so much excitement that you probably won't be noticed if you decide to make a decision to abstain.
Yeah.
But hopefully there's a few things in here today that you guys find valuable. So, Tommy, as always, sir, thank you so much. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Don't forget to head over to register for the next 10-day live fasting challenge. Registration is now open. It can be found at www.thefastingforlife.com/live. That is www.thefastingforlife.com/live. For dates and more information, you can find the link in today's show notes, and we will see you on the inside.
So, you've heard today's episode, and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free Fast Start Guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.